Neelan Parker at the Sierra Leonean Police Head Offices, and I'm speaking to Mr. Richard Moigbe. Just to begin, if you could tell us what your position is at the police station.
My name is Richard Moigbe. I am the Assistant Inspector General of Police, responsible for security and police operations nationwide. Sierra Leone is divided into four regions. Where we are at the moment is the western area. There is a police commander. There is the east, the south, northern regions, also with police commanders. I sit here at the strategic level, what we call the gold center. My core functions as the AIG operations is to coordinate the work of all the police commanders nationwide to give them that strategic umbrella leadership and direction, come up with operational policies and give them that strategic direction. Like the last elections, that was a national operation. So in that, it is my responsibility to come up with a strategy and roll it down to the other commanders, which will guide them in providing security and policing service. So basically, this is my core function.
Perfect. And I'm moving directly to the elections violence and the strategy section of the interview. Okay. Was there an assessment of threats against the process in advance of the election, and who conducted the assessment?
Yes, to answer your questions straight up, yes, there was an assessment, and that assessment was conducted by the Sierra Leonean Police, taking the lead, supported by other security agencies. But maybe if I can give you a brief outline of how we went about providing the security and policing the elections, it might address some of your concerns. In Sierra Leone, by constitution and legislation, the National Electoral Commission, NEC, is responsible for the conduct of all public elections and referenda. By the same constitution again, the Sierra Leone Police is responsible for the security and the policing of all public elections in this country. So we work in support of NEC. And again, we, the Sierra Leone Police, is responsible for internal security of this country. We take primacy, though there's the military, other security agencies, but we have the primacy for internal security. So security for public elections and policing of them falls under our domain. Now, what did we do? Months to the election, in fact, from last year, we knew there was going to be local government elections, which is a national one. So what we did as a forward planning organization, that is the Sierra Leone Police, we set up what we call the Elections Security Policing Planning Coordinating Secretariat at the National Operations Center here, the Sierra Leone Police Election Security and Policing Coordinating Secretariat. And we scanned the organization, identified very brilliant officers, and staffed the secretariat with that. Then we identified what we call permanent NEC liaison officers. These are police officers who are in permanent touch with the NEC, because we have to know NEC activity, their own timeline activity, their strategy, because we have to provide security to support their strategy. So we need to know what they are doing. So we have that permanent liaison. And then we went further to identify various stakeholders and partners. Although we have primacy for security, but we think there are some other departments, institutions, which can give us support for us to be able to provide that adequate security for the elections. So we did stakeholders, partners, analysis, and identify them and establish day-to-day functional relationship with them. And from that, we then drew up, using the secretariat staff now, with me supervising, we came up, we developed the elections policing strategy. And that strategy was discussed at our management level, at National Security Council Coordinating Group level here, where various agencies, institutions that have something to do with elections made their own input, and then we produced the final product, the final strategy. And in that strategy, you may want to know some of the sub-strategies, one of which is like coordination, command and control. We know we have identified partners, they're coming to work with us, UN, Office of National Security, the very next, civil society, and other institutions. We have to know, define roles and responsibilities and how we manage them. The command and control of that was one of the sub-strategies. Also, we know in providing security for elections, there we need to do special training, specific elections, specific training. So there was a training component looking at various areas that really would bring people up to speed to be able to provide the security and to also work in support of the police. We also looked at what we call the community engagement strategy, how we really work with the wider public to support us, and also a media strategy going with that, because we need to be talking with members of the Fourth Estate, engaging them, and they disseminating, informing the wider public and the international community what we are doing. And also we look at resourcing issues. That was another strategy, looking at the budget, because when we drew up the strategy, we costed the strategy, transform it into a costed document. So we are looking at resourcing issue in terms of personnel, a manpower deployment, because there are pooling stations nationwide, we have to deploy it in all of those. So determining the manpower requirements, looking at vehicles, looking at fuel and other equipment, communication equipment. So under budget, we are looking at resources, logistics, finance to support the entire operation. And we are also looking at investigations. We know that when there are elections, there are bound to be few public disorder here and there, elections related. So we had a sub-strategy of establishing what we call elections specific investigation cells nationwide. Every police command unit, we established a unit there, staffed with very experienced CID officers who are given specific training to investigate swiftly all electoral offenses or elections related matters. And we're also coming to your first question about threat. We also know resources are never enough. Our operations have to be intelligence-led, which really can manage the bigger resources. So we establish also nationwide what we call election-specific intelligence cells, working with the communities, looking at issues that and assessing them, which they think would impact or hamper the smooth process of the elections. They are processed there and fed to the center here, where we have an integrated staff from the police special branch, the police criminal intelligence unit, the central intelligence, and all the intelligence departments. They also contribute a staff. They are there at the central intelligence cell so that intelligence coming and information from all over the country, they process them, analyze them, and use that to build what we call threat register on the entire elections nationwide. This threat register we keep updating. And it is this threat register which really helped us when we came to the actual election day itself in terms of manpower deployment, assessing locations where the threat is high. You have unemployed youth, they have planned this sort of public disorder. So that really helped us to deploy enough resources in those regions so that they can contain and make sure there is sanity. For example, few days to the election, the threat register informed us that the threat in Kono district went very high. That is the diamondiferous area. Because of disgruntlement, they were not allowed to mine diamonds. They were denied certain rights. And they were planning, they had prepared petrol bombs, planning to attack chiefs, even to burn police stations. So we are informed through the threat register. And we flew in enough personnel, public order unit personnel, well equipped, and they were there. And to a point, in fact, when they started going out to the street, and they were almost about trying to overwhelm the local resource, the police there, we also had to bring on board the military police, whom we had given some training under specific instructions how to work with the police. So they were also brought on board under what we call military aid to civil power, and we used that to contain the situation. And we also, based on the threat again, we identified certain areas which we refer to as the flashpoint, the hotspot. So in those areas, we deployed what we call strategic rapid response teams. These are a group of well-trained, well-equipped, advanced public order unit of the police. So they were there on standby with vehicles to move, and also as part of our strategy, I discussed with the United Nations, the ERSD, and they were kind enough to provide two helicopters at my disposal. They were based there, standby. So in the event that there is problem in a very remote part of the country where we want to move this strategic rapid response to support the local police to contain the situation, and the vehicle would not really help because of the response time, we can then use the helicopters to go and airlift the personnel into those locations. So in brief, these were the strategies, this was the forward planning and the strategy, and we did not do it alone. We identified various key partners and stakeholders, and we maintained that coordination, collaboration, working together.
Who were the partners? You mentioned the military, and you mentioned...
The military, when it came to manpower deployment to polling stations, we also drew personnel from the prisons, from the traffic warden, from the chieftain police, and we trained them on the elections policing just for that moment, and they were working with us. And also the media, they were our partner, members of the 4th Estate, we kept engaging them. And also the public, as say, oh, we'll go on radio phone-in program, tell them our strategy, what we plan, and the support we want from the public, and also when it comes to polling day itself, what we require of the public to be peaceful, law-abiding, and if they see any strange movements and anything that would disrupt the smooth process, that they also, as civilians, have the right to arrest and hand over to the police or call over to the police. So these were our partners, even UNOSIL here, UN, UNDP, they were our partners. They helped us in the funding process, the budgeting, you know, they helped us, UNOSIL staff, we are working with us, IMAT. So we had a wide range of partners and stakeholders, but we managed them well.
You mentioned that in Kono, because of the diamond area, that there had been a higher threat assessment for that area. What other things were thought to be potential issues or things that would cause the threat assessment to go up during this election?
Well, in certain areas where we had, say, some bush dispute going on, or some chiefs having problem with their subjects, where their subjects think that the chief is partisan and not really being neutral, and maybe wanting his subject to go down his own road, and they refusing that, so there's that disrespect, non-recognition. So this all builds some tension. And so we identified all of that, and we were able to engage the people, talk to them, have a mind orientation, in addition to we really deploying our public order officers there. And also some areas, people had some old disputes about cattle theft, you know. So all of that, when elections are coming, they tend to say, okay, you did not support us, we are not going to, and then you see tension started building up. And above it all, the elections were partisan, people belonging to different political parties. You see when the people, one political party is giving, say, today that is their own turn to do campaigning, some their members would go out making inflammatory comments, and it might antagonize the other opponents, and they start argument, and then they go into fist. and comfort, but all of that we managed.
If you were giving advice to yourself, but before these elections, was there any information that you know now that you wish you'd known before to do your job? Or well, someone else in a similar position?
Yes, I have really come to realize the usefulness, the power of really working with other stakeholders. It's before we thought, you know, some years back, when it comes to election, it comes to policing issues, we thought it was purely police affair, nobody else. But of late, in our reform, we've come to realize that quite a lot of institutions have a role to play. And in fact, the public, the people, and that is why, in fact, we have changed our policing style and philosophy from the reactionary public aloof to what we call community policing or local needs policing, that is really sitting with the locals, discussing policing issues and policing with them, policing by concern. So this really has come to help us, because if you look at the police strength, see about 9,500, and the population of the country, 5 million, so the policing ratio is very high. Say it's about one police officer, say to 700 people. You know, it's very difficult. So the only way we can police the nation is by working with the people, because they are everywhere.
At the highest point, how many staff were you working with when you include the traffic controllers and the military that you brought in to work on the elections? So I guess on election day, how many police were out there deployed or acting as police?
Well, the police, we had 8,500 out there. And I cannot quite remember the other supporting sister agencies, but they were also numbering. They are numbering over 1,500.
And would you say that was sufficient?
It was sufficient, because there was high police visibility everywhere. And all of that, every polling station, we had over 6,000 polling stations. Everywhere you had police officers, and some of these personnel were also involved in the roving patrols, in Land Rovers and foot patrols moving around. You know, so it was adequate.
Was there a campaign cooling off period, where campaigning had to stop before the elections?
That's right, there was a cooling off period. They had one day. The elections, this last election, the local government elections, it was on the 5th. There was campaign on to the 3rd. So the 4th was a cooling day, no activity, and we're out there to ensure that nobody came out. There were a few people who wanted to make attempts to campaign, but we are able to stop them.
Well, sir, you said you would give me 20 minutes, and you've given me 20 minutes, so thank you so much. If you have any more questions.
Except if you have one or two things to ask.
Okay, perfect. I very much appreciate it. I don't want to lean on your time too much. In terms of election dispute resolution, after the election, what did you do either on election day or after the election to deal with complaints that people had? How were the police involved in that?
Well, like I told you, that we envisaged that, and it was part of our wider strategy, establishing election-specific investigation cells. Mm-hmm. So all complaints that we had received or police had about misbehaviors, they were recorded, and those that where there was sufficient evidence, they were charged to court. Mind you, some of the acts amount to criminal, though it's upon is election related, but it's criminal. Take for example, where somebody walked up and slapped somebody, it's assault, so we charge that person, or destroy something, somebody's poster, we charge to court for malicious damage, though it was during the electoral period. So we have quite a lot of that, and very highly sensitive ones will be investigated and then refer to the law officers department for more legal advice, which the ones that are really very sensitive, because all of that is preparing police record in the event that after elections, though we've not had one yet, where people will be aggrieved and they make petitions against certain results. And if police we are called upon to testify, then we'll be that prepared, you know, with our records. So that was what we did. And in fact, we are yet to meet what we call the briefing for lessons learned by some other commanders. And in that, the director of crime management has been instructed to come up with a national statistics of all matters, complaints made and their outcomes. Those that had no substance were dismissed, those that charged to court and the court outcomes, those that are still under investigation. So it's yet to produce the national statistics.
What are the types of complaints that regularly came up?
Well, some people would complain that their posters have been torn. Some would say the campaigning group passed by their own party location and started throwing insults on them, and people stone throwing, this sort of thing.
And what would be standard penalties for those kinds of things?
Well, it depends really on the nature of the offense. If somebody is, they say, stone throwing, which if that is done deliberately and the impact is so you can even be charged to court for wounding with intent, which carries a very stringent imprisonment penalty. So it really depends.
And do you have any recommendations for someone who is establishing a dispute resolution system in another country?
Well, the recommendation here is, you see, like I said, after the police reform, our investigative capacity has increased, and that means quite a large volume of investigated matters are sent to court, which has overwhelmed the capacity of the court. So, in fact, there was one time the then Chief Justice appealing to us that some minor offenses, if we can set up a resolution mechanism at police station, but to do it very professionally, you know, and that is going on now, you know, for very minor things and where the complainant too is giving some redress. So we're doing that.
Perfect.
To help the courts.
Perfect. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Very much. And again, if you have any other questions, you now have my contact information and that of the organization, so please,
okay.
Please do. Sierra Leone Police Part 2. You were saying that one of the other reasons that you have had a successful strategy.
That's right. Why we were successful in providing security and policing the election, and the outcomes are claimed to be very peaceful, transparent, and acceptable nationally and internationally, is because we, as an organization, and being responsible for the security of the elections and policing it, we agree that it is part of a broader strategy to have a corporate value component of the strategy. And that is, in providing security and policing service for the entire electoral process, that every member of the Sierra Leone Police Force would remain neutral, will be impartial, will be non-partisan, and will be professional. And that we made known to every member of the police, and even the elections training programs that were put together for the officers, that was factored there, our corporate core values of neutrality, impartiality, non-partisanship, and to be professional. And we also made sure that we put in place structures to ensure that people, officers who are going against these corporate core values, are identified, picked out, and disciplined, either in our police discipline court, and where the violations of these values amount to criminality, we charge them to the open criminal court, and we deal with everything transparently, and we even call on the wider public to help us police our police officers, to see those that will be breaching or infracting on those core values, to report them to certain designated areas which were identified. I think that helped us, because if we had become political and taking sides, we all know what happened in the, sorry to say, in places like Kenya, in Zimbabwe, where people who were supposed to provide the security and decided to be partisan. It undermined the entire security. So probably that was one of our key success.
Were any people either dismissed or demoted because of infractions?
Well, because everybody knew we are that firm at the top, and every interview we held, I think I would not say one or two of our officers was not thinking about that, but probably they have seen and they decided not to try it. A preventive strategy.
Did people sign a code of conduct? Did the police sign a code of conduct?
Yes, we have a police discipline code of conduct. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much again.
You're welcome.